السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا ونصلي ونسلم ونبارك على الحبيب المصطفى سيد الخلق عليك أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم يا سيدي يا رسول الله. أما بعد, brothers and sisters, we are in the Hijra calendar, in the month of the birth of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, and we need to remind ourselves not only on the birth as a birth, but it is a lot of morale behind it, before and after the incident itself. Highlights a lot of values, a lot of thoughts, insights that we need to share, to remind ourselves and to share it with anybody else, Muslims and non-Muslims, to understand what is that happens, what does that mean. First of all, we need to highlight a point: sending messengers and prophets from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to different people. And that happens before Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, thousands and thousands of years. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, as we know, he's the last prophet, he's not the first. In the first 1,000 of years between him and Prophet Muhammad, then where is the logic or what drives the sending of a messenger? You will find from the history that it is exactly the same scenario happens every time in humankind. Actually, as and when any people doing sins, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody is raising the point, nobody is acting, advising to stop these sins or to stop the mistakes or to stop all of these errors, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the Prophet, someone to take the responsibility as a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise the value of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That scenario happens in many generations, and it happens exactly the same thing. As and when nobody is raising the point that something wrong is happening in the society or the community, and the sin or the mistake happens as a normal behavior, and the people do it night and day as it's something normal that they need to do this, then Allah sends a messenger or a prophet. And there is a difference between, but we are not going to discuss the differences at the moment. Now, the message, any message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the same message since Noah up to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and the number of prophets and messengers that has been sent in different hadith is more than 100,000, 200,000. But those ones who mention, Allah only mentioned them in Quran, is 25. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَصَصْنَا عَلَيْكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَمْ نَقْصُصْ عَلَيْكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Quran, I've told you some of the prophets, but others, which are lot, has not been, you haven't been told. But the message in any religion is exactly the same. It's exactly the same. Al-aqidah, which is the faith, never change. Faith never change. It's a one message since Adam up to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Worship Allah. You can look in any, in the old Bible, in the old Torah, in all of these ones, you will find it there. It's one message. So what changes? The change is Sharia. What we say is called jurisdiction, which is actually related to the rules of what's haram and what's halal, what you're allowed to do here, what you're allowed to do there. And that's why when you read the history, for example, in the ancient Egyptian history, in the Arab's history, you'll find things are different in things of what's forbidden, what's allowed or not. And that has changed during that, you could say, very long journey of human being. That changes, but the faith never ever change. اعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا. Worship Allah and never get partnership with Allah, and partnership in any shape or form. And that is always one message. Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام is exactly the same thing. It has the same message in terms of the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let me give you a bit of what happens before Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, his birth. What is the situation in the Arab world? It's far away of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of the Arabs during that time inherited Dinu Ibrahim, the religion of Prophet Ibrahim, which is Abraham in English. That was what's left over of some of that religion. But it has been mixed totally. It's not purely that the religion. No, it has been totally mixed with others. People are worshipping stones and pagans and worship other gods that they shape it with any stones or sometimes dates and other things. But they always relate to this one, إلى بيت الله, or the house of Allah, which is in Mecca, which I'll tell you the story about it in a minute. So, but that religion has been a mix between worshipping Allah and worshipping other gods, and a mixing of a god for each function, and all of these things, which is taking partnership with Allah. And it happens and come to the situation where it's a habit. You can worship whatever you like. That was the rule. Not only this, and because the driver for justice wasn't there, and that will mean to create a very, very oppressive type of society. Very difficult to live there. If you are poor, if you are not from these people who are honored, they are very much going to be very weak living in the dark, because that's the situation during that time. It's absolutely a situation where you have to be one of those honored persons, or to stick to one of them, or to stay to one of them to be in his protection. And that gives you how injustice has been applied. That was the rule. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wisdom. That rule has to change and come back to justice. But a preparation has to happen to this one. And the preparation happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared the people of Mecca that a prophet is coming to you. How did they get the message? Subhanallah. And that was the wisdom of Allah. In Medina, some of Bani Israel, and what we said, the sons or grandsons of Israel. And Israel is actually the name of the Prophet Ya'qub or Jacob, who is the grandson of Prophet Ibrahim. Yaqub or Jacob or Israel, that's his second name, has 13 sons. And those 13 sons has been the many, we call them Asbat. And all the prophets came in, subhanAllah, from that huge number of grandsons. Thousands and thousands. We don't know even all their names. But because they've lived a long time, and they've been disobeying Allah big time, there has been a huge stampede in different generations. And you can look in the history and the encyclopedia regarding this one. And one of them, they have stayed in the north of Medina. Those people who has been, as we call them, people of the book, who are following Torah, they know that there is a prophet coming, because that's what they've been told. And the prophet has been told in Torah that he is one of the grandsons of Ibrahim. And that's why they were expecting he is going to be one of them. They've been telling Arabs, as and when that prophet is coming, we're going to fight you. Are we going to win the war? Now the Arabs has the message that a prophet is coming. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wisdom to make that message coming in before Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and to prepare the people for the coming of a prophet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give a lot of descriptions and a very detailed description of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Very detailed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe the level of details of that prophet. It's coming in one ayah in Quran. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. يعني you know, they know him as exactly they know their son. كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ. And how far the detail. If I ask any one of you, do you know your son? What is your answer? You know him like an open book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly used it. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. It's exactly the same as an open book. وَإِنَّ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. But that has been hidden. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the wisdom behind it. You have to understand something there. And I always remind you with this fact. Anything happens under the willing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا فِتْنَتُكَ تُصِيبُ بِهَا مَنْ تَشَاءُ. And that means Allah has a wisdom that happens. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, even on his date of birth, they had been told in Torah, there is a red star that will shine in the middle of the sky. And once that red star shines, the Prophet has been born. Very clear. In that year, and this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to understand that the history has a logic when it happens. You will not understand the logic unless you read the history and read the sequence of that history, and then you will link that there is huge logic behind what happens and why it happens. In the year where Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was born, that year, what we call it Amul Fil, the year of the elephant, which is the story of the elephant, which has a huge wisdom behind it. Quickly, what is that story is about? A king was living in Yemen. It's called Abraha. For some reason, he came up with an idea. Is to copy Al-Kaaba in Medina, in Mecca, and put exactly the same building in Yemen. Call it Al-Qulais. That's the name of this place. That's what he wants to call. And instead of the people going to Mecca to doing Hajj, no, he wants the people to come to Yemen to his house that he built. Now, he knows that the people are coming to this place, which is Mecca, since Ibrahim. As Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his very, very nice dua. رَبِّ إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Subhanallah. When you look at the history since Ibrahim, Mecca was nothing, absolute desert, no sign of life at all. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wisdom that place is Mecca, has to be built there. And that changed it. And he wants to get Mecca and destroy it. Now, Arabs has been people who has no, you could say like no central government. It's just like tribes living here and there. And that king in Yemen wants to destroy Al-Kaaba. Wants to destroy it totally. But he has a new weapon. Nobody is usually, Arabs were not aware about it, which is using elephants. So he got the elephants, thousands and thousands of kilometers, walking, and then stands out of Mecca. And the people of Mecca, mainly Quraysh, which is the tribe of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, know that he is coming to destroy Kaaba. And they know that they have no experience to face elephants or to fight against elephants. They are used to face camels and horses. Mecca has been emptied totally. The people left Mecca. They left it because they know elephants will come in, destroy everything, and that means we cannot stand for it. But they, strangely, they have a belief that Allah will protect it. And that belief has been translated in the words of Abdul Muttalib, who is the grandfather of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Because he used to have his own camel out of Mecca with all his own shepherds working for him. When Abraha, who is that king who is coming to destroy Mecca, he took all his camels. And Abdul Muttalib went out of Mecca to meet him. And he told him, give me back my camels. You came in for Kaaba, but give me back my camels because that's what I own. And Abraha told him, see, so that means I'm coming to destroy Baytullah, which is the house of Allah, this Al-Kaaba. And you're just going to discuss your own camels? And then he said his very, very, very strong words. He said, I am al-Rabbul Ibil. I am the owner of these camels. That's why I'm asking for it. وَلِلَّهِ رَبٌ يَحْمِي. The house of Allah has his own protector who is going to protect it. The words to Abraha doesn't mean anything. But for Abdul Muttalib, who is the grandfather of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, who is following the religion of Ibrahim, means a lot. And he knows that very well. The camels has been sent back to Abdul Muttalib. And he left Mecca. He knows Allah will help. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described us what exactly happened in that confrontation. In a one simple ayah, which happens literally after 40 years. The ayah or the surah itself revealed after 40 years or 42 years, because that was that year Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was born. The ayah is very short in Quran. Alam tarak, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alam tarak kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil, alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil, wa arsala alayhim tayran ababil, tarmihim bi hijaratin min sijjil, faja'alahum ka'asfin ma'kul. Very short, very, very concentrated, strong Arabic, really, really strong. Even the words and the structure of the sentences is very strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling them, because the people has witnessed this, but Allah described it in the surah. The elephants came in, before they came into Mecca, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends, subhanallah, massive, thousands and thousands of birds, who throw stones, very hard stones, on the elephants. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. Total destroyed. Has been حِجَارَةٍ مِنْ سِجِّيلٍ, which is very stone, the stone which is very hard, thrown at these elephants. The people in Mecca has been witnesses because they've seen this with their own eyes. They're not fighting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting his house. Now, the surah is giving you a fact, but there is a moral behind this, which is that's what I want to highlight here. The moral behind it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell us, it's not about the Arabs, it's not about the language, it's about the religion, it's about the place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect his house, which Allah wants that house to stay his own way. Allah protect it because Allah knows that the Arabs during that time will not have the force and strength and the capability to face elephants. And that's why Allah protected his own way. And that tells us with another ayah in another surah in Quran to know that for all of us as Muslims, وَلَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ لَانْتَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضَكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, if he wants to make victory, he will make it. He doesn't need us. But it's just a test for each and every one of us. That surah tells us the whole history, even on the day of birth. And the people who has been witnesses to that incident when it happened and lived during Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam with nodding their heads because they've seen this,
The surah is just telling you in a very short, strong Arabic language what happens. But the witnesses has been living because they've seen exactly that scene. And they can tell the story of the people, what happened to the elephant. That was a preparation for people to know something happens among you. A prophet was born. When Prophet Muhammad والسلام, was born, the people of Bani Israel, or the people of the book, they know that a prophet was born. On that day, they knocked on the door of each and every one or family of their people, asking, is there a baby was born today? And subhanAllah, the answer was no. Not a single house has a born baby on the same day Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Allah has a wisdom. And now they know the Prophet exists and he's not from Bani Israel. He's still the grandsons of Prophet Ibrahim, because he's coming from the, as you know, Prophet Ibrahim has his son Ishaq, which is Isaac, and Ismail. And he's coming from Ismail, that you could say branch of the grandson. And that was Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. A new generation for humankind coming in by the coming of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us a word in Quran, khatam al-nabiyyin. And I want to stress on that word khatam, because as I always said, if you want to understand Islam, don't just read the translation of Quran. Why? Because the Arabic language, and specifically the Arabic grammar, is really, really complex. When you translate it directly from Quran in Arabic to English, you will not get the meaning. Not only this, it's actually sometimes confusing. And that's why I recommend to read the interpretation of Quran in English. Because the interpretation will have more in context of what is the revealed, what is the story behind the ayah or the surah that you're reading, then you can understand it. But if you take it English to Arabic to English directly, you will not get it. Arabic is a really complex language. It's not that easy to get to translate the words, especially Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wisdom in how these sentences are structured. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى إن اليمين والشمال مضلة والطريق الوسطى هي الجادة عليها ذات الكتاب ومنبر السنة هلك من ادعى وخاب من افترى وهلك أعداؤنا وأعداء الله. أما بعد, brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام came in رحمة للعالمين, a mercy for humankind. Subhanallah. Now what mercy of humankind means, subhanAllah, is a big word. First of all, if you look at the generations happens and people happened before Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, can you just step one step ahead, please, brother? You will find that when people are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a prophet has been sent, and the people has been arrogant in the sense of disobeying the Prophet and disobeying Allah, there is always a torture that happens to that place or to these people. And there are evidence, and the evidence, by the way, exists up till now. Subhanallah. Mada'in Salih, Banu Thamud exists up till now. Banu Lut, which is actually in the Dead Sea in Jordan, exists up till all of this evidence. The ancient Egyptian and what happens to pharaohs and so on exists up till now. All of this evidence exists. When Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam came to the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rahmah, if he's a mercy. What's a rahmah, first of all? A rahmah, you and I, when we ask Allah for forgiveness, we always ask Allah, Allahumma aghfir lana dhunub وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا وَرْحَمْنَا. Every one of these has a meaning. تَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ, that means you're asking Allah for forgiveness for sins that you have done. تَتُوبُ عَلَيْ, that means you are promising that you are not going to do anything in the future. Asking Allah for mercy, that means asking Allah not to be tortured. That means you are exempted for torture. اللهم ارحمنا وارحم أباءنا وارحم المسلمين وارحم موتانا رب العالمين. So when you ask Allah for mercy, that means you are not, this is the meaning of your asking Allah to be forgiven, and that means no torture. رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ The people of Mecca during that time, when they've been, as always, challenging Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, having all of these strong debates on points why and so on, every now and then they're coming and having this jidal, which is arguments, coming back and forth. And one of them, he said, if you have any torture, let the torture come to us. Let the torture happen to us. It's exactly the same mistake that the people has done with the other prophets. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this time has been telling them, no. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ You are living among them. And that means that torture, that is not going to happen. رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, a lot of things changed in that human and mankind when he came in. And that's why when we read Quran, we need to understand a lot of logic behind it. And this is very important for us as a Muslim. First of all, as Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam told us, خَبَرُ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ That means the stories and the, all of this incidents that happens before you exist. Which is the whole history. And Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you read Quran, give us huge amount of facts of the history. To highlight a lot of things that has been hidden. And nobody knows about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in Quran. And that's why we know a lot of what happens in Torah and in Injil, in the Bible, in Torah, and the people before us, and the people of Noah, and a lot of, because that is mentioned in Quran. خَبَرُ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ وَحُكْمُ مَا بَيْنَكُمْ And that means the Quran has that to live the life of a Muslim. And that is the difference. A Muslim is not coming to just to pray and do salah and do fasting and pray zakah and this is it. No. Islam is a way of life. It's a way of life. حُكْمُ مَا بَيْنَكُمْ That is, Islam is a whole atmosphere. It's a whole environment to live in within Muslims. Because Islam is not about your individual situation and that's it. It's about your individual situation and about the community. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a lot of times, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. That means Allah is calling the believers. And not only this, and the non-believers. Ya ayyuha nas. People. And that means that tells you, it's not only for us as a Muslim. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a lot of people, oh my people, Ya ayyuha nas. That means Muslims and non-Muslims. Everybody has to know some facts. إِنَّ خَلَقْنَا يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we are different. Shape-wise, ethnic-wise, group-wise, everything is different. But we have a one common thing, to worship Allah. And the best of us who worship Allah, doesn't matter who is your name. In the day of judgment, none of us is going to be used. What's your ethnic group? What's your skin color? Doesn't matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. He doesn't have to ask you about it. But He has to ask you about your heart and your belief. وَنَبَأُ مَنْ بَعْدَكُمْ What will happen to you after death, day of judgment? What will happen to this rule? And that is, Quran has that three main things in terms of knowledge. خَبَرُ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ What happens, the whole history. حُكْمُ بَبَيْنَكُمْ How to live and stand and build a life of a Muslim. وَنَبَأُ مَنْ بَعْدَكُمْ That means what will happen to you and in your future as a Muslim. And subhanAllah, a lot of things that happens now, we've been told that will happen to you. 1400 years ago, we've been told what will happen to us today. SubhanAllah. How will Prophet Muhammad alayhi salat know this? Because it's not for him personally. He's been told by Allah. Who created him, who created Adam, and created the last creature on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam all of this. When Prophet Muhammad came in, a lot of things changed with him. And you have to understand that even that logic, by itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean it. How does that mean it? Look at the first 10 years of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't reveal a single thing which is haram or halal. All the surah in Mecca, subhanallah, during the before hijrah, before migrating from Mecca to Medina, is all about faith. Just to get the faith in the hearts of people, strongly. Very strongly. And that's all about.
then in Medina, then the ayat of what's haram and what's halal and how to live a life of a Muslim. That tells you the logic of Islam. The logic is to get the faith first. Get that faith in your heart first. Get that strength in the unbelieving of Allah first in your heart. Because if you don't have this in your heart, you'll find it difficult to digest what happened. A lot of us, when we look at Quran and when we look at Muslims, we always assess Islam based on, I've seen a Muslim doing this, why Muslims are doing that. Forget about what Muslims are doing. Look at what Islam is saying. Because we are human beings, we do mistakes, we do a lot of mistakes. We have to admit this. We do a lot of mistakes. And we are not applying our religion properly. We have to admit this. And that's why when you talk about Islam, always talk about what Islam is saying, not what I am doing. Because that's different. And we have to admit this. None of us is perfect, and the perfect is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is even Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he is the only one who could say, who is talking in the name of Islam. Anybody else is just a point of view, except Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Because he is the messenger of Allah, and what he's telling us is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he has these rules which he's telling us, and that's why a change in the behavior of people. And if you look, and if you want to just to assess that change that happens, look at those Muslims who are now, as we tell them, very honored Sahaba and apostles of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Who are they? What's their life before Islam? And what's their life after Islam? And you will see people changing totally the other side of the spectrum. Umar, who's becoming the Khalifa of Muslims, and the man who are what we are actually trying to follow, who is one of the Sahaba of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, who is he? He was always drunk, subhanAllah. But a change happened to him. Total change happened to him. And that's Islam is about. Brothers and sisters, the birth of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam changed mankind, changed our lives, changed our mindset as Muslims. We just need to raise these values. That's all what we need to do. We don't need to invent something new. We just need to raise the values, just to make it in practice, to let other people know what that is about. Talk about it. Tell the other people about it. That's our function, is to tell people, ذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر. Our function is just to tell everybody what Islam is about, not to criticize anybody, whatever they believe. Our function is just to tell the people what Islam is about. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. اللهم ارحمنا فأنت بنا راحم، ولا تعذبنا فأنت علينا قادر، وانطب بنا يا مولانا فيما جرت به المقادير. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا تفرقا معصوما، ولا تجعل فينا ضالا ولا محروما. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. اللهم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم تقبل صلاتنا ودعاءنا وقيامنا وصيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا اغفر لنا الذنوب واستر لنا العيوب. اللهم تب علينا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارحمنا وادخلنا في زمرة رحمتك يا من وسعت رحمته كل شيء يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة.